happy this week? Have we got happy people here? I like what Sam was talking about Fiji. Why don't we take a bit of Fijian spirit and get it into the Hobart winter? I mean, and the winter's just about done, hasn't it? It's warmed up this week. It's all behind us now. So there you go. So let's be happy. Let's be happy. Just a couple of things before I get into the message this morning. I just wanted to let you know some things that are going on. As times and seasons and people's availability and things change. But I've got some exciting news. But first of all, Jen Storer, who has been part of our board for about 18 months and just done a phenomenal job, because she has been the only girl on the board, so she's kept us blokes in line, which has been absolutely brilliant. But Jen's got, you know, lots of things going on in her world at the moment and just needs a bit of space to focus on some of those things and just sense to... are changing in that. So Jen's actually resigned as part of the board, which she did about a month or so ago. And yeah, we'll miss her there. She's just been absolutely brilliant in that. The exciting news is too, we've got two more people joining the board. So one of those is Jake Towns. So isn't that fantastic? Jake brings a whole lot of business skill to the board, and he's a young guy. So I'm really excited about that. And we've also got Bob Enwich joining the board too. And a lot of you know Pastor Bob. And Bob's part of our Derwent Valley congregation, as well as being here too. And Bob just brings a great depth of experience. He's pioneered churches, planted churches, and just works so amazingly in the community and has a great understanding of that. So the future looks bright. I'm really excited about that. So I just wanted to let you know what's going on there. So right now, you are listening to my voice. You are hearing my voice, and I gather that most of you are listening to my voice. Some of you might be looking at your iPhone. Some of you might be checking your Facebook. You stop that if you're doing it right now. But you are listening to my voice. It's not my word. It's my voice. And if you were to get my notes from last time I preached here 2 weeks ago, you would actually have the words. You would have the words that are on that paper. And if you weren't here, if you didn't get to actually hear that, you would just have the word. You would not have my voice. You wouldn't actually hear what is being communicated by my voice. Now, a voice gives tone. A voice gives intonation. A voice gives volume. A voice can communicate emotion, urgency, love, judgment, all these things that can actually be communicated by voice. If we have a look at the screen, and on the screen you will see my words. Now that, you probably can't read that, but that's an email. I send out an email every week to our team talking about vision for our weekend services and some of the things that are happening there. Now that is my words. Hi everyone. And you can pick up that and you can read that and you can say hi everyone. And I've got a verse there, and I've got "Let's be listening to the voice." Words on the page are fantastic. Or you could actually, when I start to speak into some of this stuff now, you can actually hear my voice. And I can bring tone, I can bring energy, I can bring intonation, I can bring all sorts of things through my voice. Now there would be people that are better writers than me that can actually bring to life words on a page better than I can. But the best way I know how to do it is actually with my voice. And as good a writer as you are, you cannot reflect on a page what you can actually get with a voice. There is something about a voice. There is something about, you know, when you say something, you know, you can say, oh, I can say, hello, Chaming. It's great that you're in church here today. Or I can say, hey, Chaming, it's fantastic you're in church here today. I am so glad to see you. Or I could say, hey, Jamie, it's all right, you're in church, mate. You know, all those things, I've said pretty much the same thing, but my voice has communicated something different. You see, so often we get words on a page, you see, and words can be legal, words can be harsh, words can not communicate the essence of what is trying to be communicated. Has anybody had an email or a text or a Facebook message or any of those things, and you look at it and you think, ooh, you know, that was a bit harsh, wasn't it? You know, that was a bit rude. And there are things that I will not communicate to somebody by email. There are things that I definitely won't communicate to somebody via Facebook. There are things that I won't communicate to somebody by text message, because what I'm wanting is I'm wanting them to hear my voice. I'm actually wanting them to hear the spirit in which I'm delivering something. I'm wanting them to hear how I've said it. I'm wanting them to actually hear the energy and the emotion or the understanding or the compassion or whatever needs to be communicated behind the words. And you see, the written word sometimes can just seem a little bit harsh or a little bit tough. But a voice is able to lift the words off the page. A voice is able to bring things to life. From the paper or the screen, you know, we can get what is being said, but we don't always understand how it is being said and what is trying to be communicated. And we've got to make sure that we don't get stuck in just words that are written on page. You see, we're so blessed. We've got the Word of God, and Sam alluded to this morning, the way that we're actually getting it into our brains is changing. A lot of us, you know, I hardly even pick up a paper Bible. I'm a gadget person, so that's cool. But mostly I would read from this or my laptop or whatever I'm using. But we are so blessed. I have got this phone here now, and I can get about 45 different versions on this at the click of my finger, and I can get them in other languages. And whatever I want, it is there. And it is words. We are such a blessed generation because we've got the Word of God. We've got it so available to us. We've got it everywhere. We've got it on our phones. We've got it in our cars. We've got it in our Bibles. We've just got it everywhere. We're so blessed to have that. You see, there are three things that we often communicate to new Christians. And these same three things, I think, need to be communicated to older Christians too. We say, if you want to have a relationship with Jesus, if you want that relationship to grow, if you want your life to go somewhere in the kingdom of God, these three things will put you in good stead. Number one, pray. You've actually got to decide that you're going to talk to God. Number two, that you need to read the Word of God. And number three, come to church. Get involved, be planted in a church. And those three disciplines, why we talk about them is so that you can have a relationship with Jesus. But you see, I think sometimes what we can miss is that the Word of God is absolutely fantastic. And I want to encourage you to study the Word, read the Word, understand it more. You know, we've got things like Energizer College, which help us to get a greater depth and understanding of those things. But I think we've got to go beyond that. We've actually got to hear the voice of God. Yeah. You see, reading the Word, praying, are never meant to be static things. They're never meant to be things that is just one-way traffic. You see, when God, through His amazing powers of planning and putting things into place, when He enabled us to have His Word, when He enabled godly men to be able to put together what we call a canon of Scripture, when He enabled that inspired Word of God to be put together, He never meant it just to be words on a page. He never meant it to be a legal document. It was actually meant to be the living, breathing, inspired Word of God. You see, when we read the Word, we're not meant to just read words on a page. We're meant to allow the Holy Spirit to actually speak to us and inspire us with what is written on the page. See, praying is never meant to be one-way traffic. Praying isn't meant to be, Lord, I pray for Aunt Mary, and I pray for my budgie, and I pray for my cat that's got arthritis, and I pray that this week will go well at work, and Lord, and if you've got any more time, I hope the car doesn't break down this week, and I pray that my boss won't be a mongrel. And sometimes our prayers can be like that, where prayer is meant to be two-way traffic. Prayer is meant to be us getting into the presence of God and actually listening for His voice, listening to what He's saying, understanding where He's coming from. Sometimes we're actually too busy talking to listen. That there was a saying when I was growing up, when someone turned up with a black eye or a flat nose or something like that, what's going on, mate? Were you talking when you should have been listening? And sometimes what we find is that we spend all our time talking and we don't spend any of our time listening, so that we even start to understand what the voice of God sounds like. There'll be people here and I could say to you, what does the voice of God sound like? And some of you would have had amazing experiences and you would tell me how the voice of God has changed situations in your life. You would tell me about when you were at the end of yourself and God spoke a word and you heard it in your mind so clearly, and you can tell me what that sounded like. You could tell me the intonation of that voice. You could tell me what it's like. And there'd be perhaps others who I could say, well, what's the voice of God like? And you might say, well, I just don't really hear the voice of God. I can't tell you what it's like. You see, it's one thing to read the word, and I encourage that, but it's another thing to actually listen to the voice of God. You see, relationship with Jesus is a 24/7 thing. It's about hearing. A lot of you would know, if you've been to Alex and my house, it's not a big house. We don't live in a massive, massive house. We live in over 100-year-old cottage. And a few years ago, we did some renovations on the back section of our house. We renovated our bathroom and did some work out there. And when we did that, what we did is we thought, all right, we'll insulate the roof and we'll insulate the walls, and we just put those insulation bats everywhere we possibly could. You know, everywhere there was a cavity, we jammed a bat in it. And so consequently, that area of the house is very well insulated. And what sometimes happens is, because it's not a big house, you sort of tend to think that you can talk to each other in whatever room of the house you like. So, you know, Alex can be wandering down in the bedroom and she's sort of talking to me and I'm answering from the kitchen. And next thing, I've gone out to the back room and in the bathroom and she's still talking. The thing is, when I get out there, I can't hear what she's saying. And I come back in and the whole tone of the conversation's changed because I haven't been answering and it's moved on to another point and I'm not with the program and vice versa. Or I can be talking to her or I'm out in the back room and she says, why are you yelling? Well, because if I don't yell, you won't hear. And you see, the reality is that if in our relationship, if I chose to live in the back room, if I chose to park myself out there permanently, if I didn't come into the other part of the house, our relationship would suffer. We wouldn't get communication. We wouldn't get to talk, because I could be talking all I like out in the back room, but my voice wouldn't be doing a great job of penetrating through the plaster and the insulation and everything to the other part of the house. You see, if you're going to have a relationship with Jesus, it's not just about words on a page. It's not just about doing all the things that you think you should do. It's not a religious thing. It's actually an alive, vibrant, tactile sort of thing where Jesus is wanting to speak to you. As clear as my words are here this morning, Jesus is wanting to speak into your heart and your mind just as clearly as I'm speaking now. And he wants you to listen and understand his voice. He wants you to be able to hear what he's saying. See, Jesus, sometimes who's had a comprehension test? At the moment, I'm supervising one of the Energizer College subjects. I'm doing the leadership unit. And what we do is, after each week, you've got to listen to a lecture and you need to do a reading. And as a result of the reading, you've got to do a comprehension test. And it's an online test. And it's not really a test to find out if you know lots and lots of information. It's just to make sure you've done the reading. And so it's got multiple choice things. And if you hadn't done the reading, if you hadn't comprehended what the reading was about, well, you probably wouldn't get the answers right. It's just a simple thing like that. And at school, if we've got teachers here, they used to do things like comprehension tests. You do a reading and then you do a comprehension test to see if you understood. And what I want to say is as we read the word, Jesus is not like a school teacher. He's not walking around handing out exam papers for a comprehension test to find out if you've taken in what you've read. If he was to do a test, which I don't think he would, it would be a revelation test. It wouldn't be a comprehension test, it would be a revelation test. It would be a test of, have you heard what I'm saying? Have you listened to my voice? Sam, have you heard what I'm talking to you about this week? Kerry, do you know how much I love you? Kerry, do you know what I'm wanting to do in your family? Rex, do you know that I've brought you so far and there is so much more that is in front of you? You know, Linda, I'm right there with you. I'm walking this part of the journey with you. We're going forward. You see, that's the revelation that Jesus actually wants us to have when we read the Word. He's not so much interested in whether you understand the Greek, the Hebrew, and the Aramaic, all those things. He's not that worried about. He's actually more worried about whether you picked up the Word and you got a revelation as you read it. And even if you didn't read the Word, I encourage you to read the Word, but Jesus will still speak to you. He actually wants to talk to you. When you're in your car, when you're taking the kids to school, when one of your kids is throwing a tantrum, you know, when you're on the golf course, wherever you are, Jesus wants to speak to you. He's not wanting to give a comprehension test. He's not wanting to, you know, degrees and all those things are fantastic. They enable us to be great teachers. They enable us to have an understanding. But ultimately, it all comes back to us seeing that people get a revelation of who Jesus is and what he wants to do in their world and their life. Listen to what John 10, 27 and 28 says. It says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. My sheep hear my voice." The word that they used in the Greek, here you go, I'm going back to some of this stuff now, but it's to explain something. The word used in the Greek for voice is phoné. And I guess that's where we get our word phonic or something like that from. I didn't check that out, but it makes sense to me. But it's the word phoné. And basically it means a sound or a tone of intimate things such as a musical instrument. It means a voice. It means the sound of uttered words. It means speech, language, or a tongue. You see, we have God's word. We have this amazing truth, the inspired word of God. But are we hearing his voice? Are we hearing his voice? See, when Jesus spoke these words, he was in the temple in Jerusalem and he came out into a place they call Solomon's Porch. And as I read that, I can't help my Aussie heritage sort of having a bit of a laugh about that because it wasn't like this. But you know, the porch for me is like the back porch. You know, you go out onto the back porch and you have a smoke and you have a drink. Well, some people do. But that's sort of what the back porch is like. Whereas it was, this porch wasn't like this. It was sort of a big sort of overhanging area. It was like this sort of big public area. And Jesus walks out onto what they called Solomon's Porch. And the Jews came and they started to quiz him. And they said, "Hey, Jesus, you've been ministering. You've been around here. What's going to happen?" And they started to put pressure on him. And in verse 24 it says, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And then he says, "I've already told you that you don't believe. The proof of this work is that I do it in my Father's name, but you don't believe in me because you are not my sheep." And he goes on, verse 27, we've already read, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." If you're taking notes this morning, write this down. Number one, decide to move from knowing to listening. Decide to move from knowing to listening. You see, the Jews knew the word. They knew the scripture. A lot of them could quote it inside out. They knew the whole thing, but they couldn't hear his voice. Their religiosity, their tradition, their inflexibility, their hard hearts, their pride, I'm being hard on them, but the reality is that we can get in exactly the same spot. We can have grown up reading the Word of God. We can be able to quote Scripture. We can do all this stuff, and yet somehow our heart's moved. It has become hard. We've got involved in tradition. We've got involved in religion. We've got involved in legalism, and we find ourselves not being able to hear the voice of Jesus. Jesus turned up. He was right there in the middle of them. He's standing on Solomon's porch. He's looking at them, and they're saying, "Hey, Jesus." I mean, they've been sarcastic. They're saying, "Hey, tell us, you know, if you're the Messiah, what's going to happen here, hey?" you've been around here a bit. You've been making these statements. Don't keep us in suspense any longer. What is going to happen? And he says to them, "I'm right here with you." He says, "My sheep," in other words, my people, those people that know me and I know them, they listen to my voice. And he goes on and he says, I speak to them because I know them. Isn't it interesting? Have you been in a situation where, you know, maybe an issue needs to be dealt with somebody, you know? You know, there's a person maybe, you know, in your workplace and, you know, and they've got bad body odour and they smell and everybody knows it and everybody's talking about it. And when they come in and they sit in your office, it just gets uncomfortable and everybody's thinking somebody should talk to that person. And oftentimes it will be given to the person that has a greater degree of diplomacy. Or somebody that you might say, no, you talk to them, you know them. You know how they will respond. Maybe it's why you won't talk to them. But so often we do that. Or if there's something happens in a family situation, you know, mums are often great at this. My mum rings me up. You should talk to your brother. Or, you know, these sorts of things that go on in families. Because, you know, maybe you know them in a bit of a different way to I know them. Maybe you're going to be able to communicate. Maybe you're going to be able to speak a language and a tone that they understand. And the reality is, Jesus is speaking to every single person here. And the reason that he can speak to you so that you can understand is he knows you. He knows how to speak to you. For some of you, he might need to speak loud. For some of you, it might need to be blunt. It might need to be so blunt that because you don't get it otherwise. I've dealt with some people and you've just got to be so blunt for them to get it. You know, you start off trying to be sort of, you know, diplomatic and nice and they look at you. And after a while, you know, you get back to the place where you're saying, read my lips, and you're like, you're really, really, really blunt. And eventually they get it. But we've got to decide to go from knowing to listening. You see, God hasn't gone quiet. God didn't write one book and stop. He wasn't a one-hit wonder. Something like the vapors turning Japanese. Who remembers that? Anyone going to sing it? Or Dexy's Midnight Runners, Come On Eileen. Four Non-Blondes, What's Up? Carl Douglas, remember this? Kung Fu Fighting. Or Survivor, The Eye of the Tiger. You see, God is current. He's not out of date like those songs. God is absolutely current. I'm sorry. I know, Dan, you still play Kung Fu Fighting. I bet you got the Eye of the Tiger too. When I was growing up, people used to pray in King James language. Does anyone remember that? A lot of you wouldn't, which is a good thing. But there'd be a prayer meeting on, and people would say, Almighty Omnipotent Father, we beseech thee, and we would ask that thou would come and be in thy presence. Why did they talk like that? Because they were old. Hey, good point. But the reality is, that language came from when the King James Bible was written 400 years ago, in I think 1617 or something like that. Now, the King James has been a fantastic, accurate version of the Bible. It's done so much good, but it was written perhaps in the language that the people understood in the day. It was written so people could understand it. Before then, the only people that could read the Word of God were those that were able to read Greek or Latin and those sorts of things. The average everyday person couldn't read the Bible. So King James of England, or King James the first king of Britain, because he was Scotland and England and all that, he actually got the Bible translated in a way that people could read it and understand it. That was a fantastic thing. But 400 years later, we've got people talking talking in these and thous and all sorts of things like that. And you know, that it worked during the day that they're speaking normal, and then they went into church and they started with this other language. And they started to speak in these and thous and all these sort of things like that. And I remember growing up as a kid and thinking, are you on drugs? What is going on? What's the story here? You see, Jesus didn't speak in that language. And I know I'm not speaking to anyone that has a problem here with that. I don't hear too many people speaking like that, but I'm just using it as an example. You see, Jesus didn't speak that language. He spoke the language of the day. He spoke Aramaic. Aramaic, sorry. I'm a bit dyslexic, you know, things get jumbled. But he spoke Aramaic. And that was the language of the day. When he spoke to people in the 1600s in England, he probably spoke to them in a language that they would understand. And perhaps he spoke to them in the King James Version. You see, God is wanting to speak to you. Jesus is wanting to speak to you in a language and a tone that you understand. You see, at the beginning of John, King James Version says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Now, Jesus didn't speak like that any more than he might have said, "Hey, dude, if you can't get through the door, you're a criminal." Jesus is speaking to you in a way that you will understand. See, God is a God of the past, the present, and the future. And he's speaking to you and he wants you to listen to his voice. And quite frankly, I'm sure that he doesn't care what language or what way he speaks to you. He just wants you to understand, whether it's Mandarin, whether it's Tamil, whether it's the Queen's English, or whether it's Aussie slang. Jesus wants to speak to you in a way that you will understand. He actually wants to speak to you in a tone that you will understand. So it's not just about knowing his word. That's a good thing. I think most of us need to know his word more. But we don't want to stop there. We don't want to become legal about that. We actually want to be able to hear his voice. I've met people and they can quote scriptures. They can rattle them off like a machine gun. But they know the word, but it's obvious by the way that they're living that they're not listening to the voice of God. They're not listening to the voice of God. Number two, if you're writing things down, listening allows you to follow. Listening allows you to follow. Because Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me," because they listen. See, God hasn't stopped speaking. Number three, if you're taking notes, Jesus' voice is current. Jesus was current. The Jews had the scripture, they'd studied the word. Jesus came to speak a now word and they rejected it. It's like Jesus came and he brought an update. You know, when now, time after time, particularly, I don't know, whatever brand of computer you use, but, you know, if your laptop's been off for a day or so and you open it up, generally the first thing that comes up is, would you like to update? Would you like to click on the update? And we know that we're best to keep the updates happening because it keeps our machine secure, it keeps it working, it keeps it current, up with all the changes. But you see, God didn't stop speaking. He's given us his word, he's given us amazing things, but he continues to give updates. He wants to update your situation right now. He actually wants to give an update to Dave Smith. He wants to let Dave Smith know some of the things. He's not going to contradict his word, but he's going to bring that word to life and he's going to bring application to it and he's going to bring reality to it in the situation that you are in. You see, if we want to live real, if we want to make a difference, we've actually got to have the voice of Jesus to bring realness, to bring application to the word that we know. And that is what's going to make a difference. See, the Jews, they were all there. They understood the word. They could quote it. They could do all that. But when the voice of God came right into their presence, they rejected the voice. Have you rejected the voice? I reject the voice sometimes. I'll be driving along in my car. I get a voice. Speaks in clear language. Dave. why don't you pick up your phone? Or not pick it up, use the hands free. God wouldn't ask me to do anything bad. Why don't you ring this person? So-and-so needs a call. And sometimes, you know, I get distracted and I don't do that. And I found out later on that person really did need a call. That person needed to hear from somebody. Other times you listen and you respond to that. And the person says, it's amazing that you rang. This and this and this was happening in my world. You see, we've actually got to actually hear the voice of God. Yeah. It's one thing to pick up the Bible and understand that it says, you know, love your neighbor. But what's that look like? You see, the voice of God actually brings reality to that. The voice of God brings opportunity to that. The voice of God enables us to make that happen in our world rather than us wandering around, oh, gee, how do I love people, you know? Oh, can I give somebody a hug? You know, free hugs over here. Oh, yeah, here's a hug certificate. You know, all those sorts of things where actually sometimes it actually just comes back to the fact that we need to listen to the voice of God and start to respond to some of those things. And allow him to work through us because he's wanting to speak to you. He's wanting you to understand what's going on. Jesus actually said, he said this to the Jews. He continually said, you've heard it said. In other words, it's in the word, but I say to you. He says, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, bless those who curse you, do good to those who persecute you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. That's an update. In other words, they understood. They understood love your neighbor. But Jesus actually brings definition. He brings reality to who neighbor actually is. He's saying neighbor is actually all these people that you share planet Earth with. Neighbor is our friends at the moment that are struggling with famine in Somalia. Neighbor is our friends that are struggling with a situation in East Timor. Neighbors are our friends that are going to find themselves very shortly in Brighton as refugees. He's saying, I say to you, love your neighbor, and even if those people don't feel like they're the neighbors, even if they're not the nice people, even if you don't understand where they're coming from, even if they've given you a hard time, you are still to love them. That's the update. That's the update. And every day I think we need that update from Jesus. We need that update that is going to bring truth and it's going to bring reality to the word that we have. You see, I can get real religious about the word. I can get real legalistic about the word. You know, I can use the word of God to actually show you all the things you're doing wrong. Just like you could do with me. If you followed me around for a day, you could pretty quickly pull out some verses and say, hey, Dave, maybe you need to tune that up a bit. Or that's not right. Or whatever, whatever. You see, that's not what the word's there for. The word is there to actually show us how to live. The word is there so that we can read it and the Holy Spirit can breathe and blow life into us as we read it. Just be honest here. Who struggles to read the Bible? We've got some... Yeah, I reckon there's a whole lot more. That was the honest ones. Why don't you try something this week? Start listening rather than reading. You read the words on the paper. Who's read? I sometimes, on my little thing here, it's got a reading plan, and it's really good. It's a good thing to use. But sometimes you can think, oh, yeah, I'm busy, and I'm going to do my reading today. Read, read, read. Oh, tick the box, done. Beauty. And then I can stop and I think, what did I read? I can't even remember what I read. And what was Jesus saying to me? I didn't hear a single thing. You see, you're better off to read one verse and say, Jesus, speak to me. What are you saying to me through that verse? Than trying to read great reams and clumps of scripture. Sometimes it's cool. Sometimes you get in the flow and God just keeps talking. But let's make sure that we are listening as much as we're reading. Jesus' voice is current. Number four, God's voice brings application to the word. If you don't hear his voice, you can become religious, you can become judgmental. And his voice keeps us soft, it keeps us sharp, it keeps us ready. You see, you don't see what God sees. You don't see the fact that you need his voice to bring guidance into your life. As you know, I've talked a fair bit lately. I like going on about the fact that I've been cycling. I'm enjoying that and I'm having a lot of fun. But what I've noticed is that you're on the bike tracks around Hobart and you can be pedaling up there and my bike is a nice bike and it's quiet. It just doesn't make any noise. It just sort of goes along like this stealth bike. It doesn't make any noise. And you can be going along the bike track and in front of you, two people walking side by side, or there's a family with a pram and a kid and all these things that are going on, and those people have got every right to be there. That is really cool. That's fantastic. But the thing is, they don't hear me coming. And it could get really dangerous because I might be riding along at 35 k's if I'm having a bit of a go, and then there are people in front of me and they're just walking and stooging up the bike track, and I've actually got to use my voice. I've got to say, "Excuse me, coming through," and hopefully they move out of the way before some disaster actually happens. Or it gets worse than this. I ride across the Tasman Bridge all the time. And I don't know why it is, but people walk across the Tasman Bridge with their iPod in both ears. And the wind blows across there, and they've got that up, they've got Lady Gaga or something cranked up in their ears. And you can actually literally go right up behind them, "Excuse me!" And they don't even hear you, and eventually, "Whoa!" You see, from my perspective, if I don't use my voice, if I don't say something, something bad is going to happen. And you see, and if you're not listening to the voice of God, if you're not hearing what he's saying, sometimes things are going to take place because God has been speaking to us and we've just been cranking along through life, with our iPod in both ears, Foo Fighters going at a million miles an hour, and we're not actually hearing what Jesus is saying. And then something happens and we think, "How did that happen? Life's not fair. All these things that go on to me in my world." And maybe we didn't actually stop to listen to what Jesus was actually wanting to speak into our life right now for this day for us to make a difference. Abraham, I'll just finish with this one. Abraham, in Genesis 22, 20, verse 2, it says, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on the mountains." God says to Abraham, "Take your son, your only son. You don't have another son. This is the only one. This is the promise to your inheritance. This is the heir. This is the boy that all your dreams and things are going to take place through." And God says, "Take him up to the Mount of Moriah and sacrifice him." The bit that I can't understand is just the obedience of Abraham. He actually just gets him and they go up there. And he's got Isaac, and Isaac's probably a teenager. And we read that he's tied him down on the altar. Imagine that with your 15-year-old boy, and you're tying him down the altar. And he just trusts the situation so much. He's wondering what's going on, but he's not fighting. He's just there. And then Abraham continuing, because the word of God, the last word that he heard from God was, "Take your son and sacrifice him." And I'm sure that Abraham's thinking, "What are you doing here, God? What's going to happen? Is something you're going to come through here?" And he gets right to the point where we're told that the boy is tied on the altar. And Abraham picks up this knife, and he's got the knife. He's ready to do the business with the knife. And suddenly, listen to what happens. "Just then the angel of the Lord called out from heaven, 'Abraham, Abraham,' and Abraham says, 'Yes, I'm listening.' He says, 'Don't lay a hand on the boy, don't touch him.'" Imagine if Abraham didn't hear God's voice? Imagine if Abraham had the iPod in both ears with the Foo Fighters going. My question to you, how many Isaacs have we killed? How many things have we missed? How many things, situations have we just rolled on past because we're going on the last word that we heard from God and we haven't heard the update? We haven't heard what He's speaking into your life and your situation this week. If the band want to join me, please. See, a voice gives so much more than a word. We've just done a series called Everyday Heroes, and it's all about the fact that Jesus said to us, "You will do greater works than me." You see, what's He talking about? He's talking about miracles. He's talking about us doing greater works than Him. How is that going to happen? I believe that that happens as we listen to the voice of God. See, maybe if I ask for hands, who needs a miracle this week? People will say, yeah, I'm needing a miracle this week. We're needing a miracle in our finances. We're needing a miracle in our family. We're needing a miracle in our health. We're needing a miracle in the fact that I need a job. There could be all sorts of things where people are needing a miracle. But my question to you is, whose miracle can you be this week? Whose miracle can you be? The fact that you are in a situation where you start to listen to the voice of God. Where God says, why don't you go and pray for that person? Why don't you go and sit down and hear somebody's story? Why don't you take a meal round to somebody? Why don't you just stop and talk to that guy in the other office and ask what's going on in his family? Why don't you listen to the voice of God? You see, doing greater works, being those everyday heroes, is actually doing what we can because we listen to the voice of God and we can understand what He's asking us to do. Did you know that as Christians, as people who follow Jesus, we're at an incredible, incredible advantage if we listen to the voice of God? I didn't say, God didn't say life is going to be easy. He says, you're going to have trouble. He says, things are going to happen. But He says, my voice will be with you. I will lead you. I will be right there with you. In Deuteronomy, it's talking about the children of Israel. It says, they turned around and went back into the wilderness, following the route to the Red Sea as God had instructed them. It says, we worked our way in and around the hills of Seir for a long time. Then God said, you've been going around in circles long enough. Go north. See, God had rescued these guys from generations of slavery. He'd taken them out into the wilderness. He provided a miracle for them every day. They didn't have to work. Their shoes didn't wear out. All they had to do was turn up, and there was this manna was actually on the ground for them. And some of us are perhaps in a situation like that. It's amazing when we come into the kingdom of God. It's amazing what God will do for us. It's amazing the way that He will bring us into a time of blessing while we get established. But you see, it was the voice of God. It was the voice of God that says, you've been going around this mountain long enough. A while back, I was flying into Sydney. I guess Sydney Airport would be the busiest airport in our country. And you know, you get that red eye out of Hobart. You know, you get up at some unearthly hour of the morning and you get yourself on the plane and you know, up to Sydney you go. And then sometimes you get there and you're thinking, beauty, we're here. You know, you can see the city, you can see Centre Point Tower, you know, you can see the southern beaches, you can see the northern beaches, you can see it all there. And all of a sudden the plane goes into a holding pattern. It goes round and round and round, and then the pilot gets on the PA and he says, look, we're sorry, we've got some delays, we've got a bit of a bank up down in Sydney, we're gonna have to hold. Actually we're gonna head out to Canberra and we're gonna come back around and we're gonna fly in this holding pattern. Maybe there are people here this morning and you feel like your life, your world has sort of gone into a holding pattern. Maybe something took place. Maybe there's been a big disappointment. Maybe there's been loss. Maybe there's been grief. Maybe some friends left you. Maybe anything could have happened, and it just feels like your life is in a holding pattern at the moment. It feels like you're circling around and around. It feels like you're going around the same mountain. You know, you come back 2 weeks later and you think, oh gee, we've been here before, we've seen this before. You see, it was the voice of God. It was the voice of God that spoke to Moses and then to Joshua. Says, hey, you've been going around this mountain long enough. It's time to go north. And then he speaks to Joshua and he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. In other words, that season is gone. That season is finished. I want you now to go from being a nomadic people, and I want you to go and take possession of the land. And it required a whole different mindset. It required different leadership. It required doing things in a different way. And maybe there are people here this morning, and my prayer for you is that you would hear the voice of God. Because I believe that God is speaking. And you might feel like you're going around that same mountain at the moment. Why don't we stand? Jemima, can I just ask you to do something just a smidge different? I know that time is gone and we're going to close the service in just a moment. But I just want you to gently lead us. And I want you now to start to listen. Listen to the voice of God. Don't worry about your notes. Don't worry about what you've got to do this afternoon. Don't worry about all these things that are going through your head. Why don't we just start to listen to the voice of God? For some of you, we're just starting to hear how God speaks to you. For some of you, I believe there's somebody here and you're in a position right now and you don't know what's next. It's like God has brought you to this point and you feel like, yep, I just need His voice. I believe that God is wanting to speak. He's wanting us to start to hear His voice. Thanks, Jemima.
God is here.